The scripture this morning is from Luke chapter 1, verses 46 through 55. My soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior, for he has looked with favor on the lowliness of his servant. Surely has he done great things for me, and holy is his name. His mercy is for those who fear him from generation to generation. He has shown strength with his arm, and he has scattered the proud in thoughts of their hearts. He has brought down the powerful from their thrones and lifted up the lowly. He has filled the hungry with good things and sent the rich away empty. He has helped his servant Israel in remembrance of his mercy, according to the promise he made our ancestors to Abraham and his descendants forever. For the word of God in scripture, for the word of God among us, for the word of God within us. Thanks be to God.
Those of us who come from an Episcopal background know this text by its Latin name, the Magnificat, because it's part of the service of evening prayer. And the sung evensong service has some incredibly beautiful settings of the Magnificat that I know some of you are not only familiar with, but that you've sung as well. Magnificat in Latin simply means magnifies. And it refers to Mary's declaration that her soul magnifies the Lord. Now think about that for just a minute. A magnifying glass that makes God's image even larger in our field of vision. Mary's soul makes God come into clearer view for us. Sometimes a magnifying glass or a lens or a filter is all you need to make things look a little clearer or in a little further view. And you may need to pull it further away or draw it nearer to make things come into crisper focus. And not all of us have the same visual acuity. So what looks in focus to you may not look like it's in focus to me. Some people see really well up close, and some of us see really well further away, and people my age tend to want to extend their arms further and further and further away so that they can see things clearly. And some of us have different magnifying glasses, different filters, different lenses that enable us to pull God into clearer view. For some of us, that lens is nature, being out in the midst of God's creation. For others, it's working for justice and peace. And for still others, the optics are the optics of fellowship and hospitality. That's how they are provided the best view of God. So what is it that magnifies God for you? What's your lens that you use to focus in on the way God is active in the world? How do you catch a glimpse of the sacred? Sometimes we have trouble bringing the holy into focus. Our nation is in a time of deep anxiety, and it's more important than ever to try to keep God's presence in view. In a time when we may not be able to get away to the mountains, if that's our magnifying glass, it can be soul-killing. And if we have an illness that prevents us from social contact, if that's our lens, it can make contact with God seem elusive. And at those times, we need to adjust focus or even try switching to a different lens or a different filter. For me, the ocean is one of the places in nature where I find it easiest to sense the presence of the holy. And since beachfront access is sort of limited here in Colorado, I changed my lens a few years back. and I started fly fishing so that I could have time out on the water. It isn't the same as sea kayaking, which I dearly love, but it works. And sometimes God is just plain hard to see, no matter how hard we try. And that's when our faith, our relationship with God built up over time, and our sense of perseverance come into play. You know, not everybody sees through the same lenses, but we do have access to different ways of seeing God and to having God come more clearly into view. What a beautiful congregation we have. And our choir. You all look splendid, especially with those lovely blue stoles. Perhaps even trying out a different way to see God might be a useful exercise. So if you're a person who tends to see God only in solitary moments, perhaps singing together in church, or engaging somebody at coffee hour, or teaching a Sunday school class, might be a different way to open a new vista on God's presence. Has it ever occurred to you that maybe somebody sees God through you and your life? I'm not trying to say that any one of us is a carbon copy of God, but rather that there is a spark of the divine presence in each one of us. Even with all of our human foibles and failings and shortcomings, we might just be able to awaken something in somebody else that enables them to catch just a glimpse of God. Sometimes at this time of year, when the nights are longest and the daylight is brief, that's when we most need to find that spark of the holy. And then we need to find some tinder and blow on that spark so that it illumines and shines before all of us. You know, by our standards, Mary was a nobody. She was a Judean peasant woman in a backwater of the Roman Empire. She herself says that God looks on her with favor and on the lowliness of her servant. So how might God be looking at us this morning? Think about that for a minute. How is God looking at you right now? If God could favor Mary with being the bearer of Christ in the world, why couldn't God regard each of us similarly? Meister Eckhart, the great 14th century mystic, wrote, "We are all meant to be mothers of God. What good is it to me if this eternal birth of the divine Son takes place unceasingly, but it doesn't take place within me? And what good is it to me if Mary is full of grace, if I also am not full of grace? What good is it to me for the Creator to give birth to His Son if I do not also give birth to Him in my time and my culture? This then is the fullness of time, when the Son of God is begotten in us." So what can we do to be bearers of Christ? What can we do to carry Christ within us and help him to be reborn, not just 2,000 years ago in a land far, far away, but here and now and again and again and again? You know, we don't know much about Mary, neither from the gospel record nor from firsthand historical accounts, but one of the things that we certainly must realize about this woman comes from the child she bore and raised. We can infer that she must have been extraordinary. If Jesus reflected something of Mary, it may have been her faith and her compassion. Whether you take the birth narratives literally or figuratively, Jesus definitely had some of Mary's DNA. And she had the opportunity to nurture and to shape the boy who would become the Messiah. In other words, her soul magnified God. So I was thinking about this. What is it that my soul magnifies? What is at the core of my being, as well as in my daily activities, that gets projected, that gets amplified in an outward way? Does my soul magnify God, or does it magnify my own needs and wants? Can somebody ever catch a glimpse of God through something that I do? Or is it so much of the other stuff that the Christ light gets obscured? What does your soul magnify? What does your soul magnify in the way you spend your time, the work you do, the money you spend, the way you exert power and influence? What does your soul magnify in your interactions with others? What does your soul magnify in the things that you pray for and about? I imagine that when clients for the Homelessness Prevention Initiative come through our front doors every Friday, or when guests of Faith Family Hospitality Network enter our church tonight as they stay with us for the next week, that they sometimes get a glimpse of the sacred in the volunteers who are here to greet them and connect them with assistance. And when an ill or a homebound parishioner receives a visit from one of you, or from Jake or Jane Ann or from me, or they receive a meal from another member, I imagine that that is a lens through which they experience God's love in a very human form. We all have that capacity. As I was driving down College Avenue a while back, a woman with a broad smile offered to let me go ahead of her as I turned on to Drake Road. And you know how often that happens. It was a very simple act of kindness. Didn't cost her a nickel. But I read into it a sense of Christmas grace, a moment of unearned kindness given to me by somebody I don't know and somebody I may never see again. And I thought to myself, what would it be like if all of us allowed ourselves and our souls to magnify the Lord? What would it be like? In greater ways or lesser ways, in simple acts or in mighty deeds, what if we acted from a sense of grace and faithfulness and compassion? Maybe we'd have fewer political tweets, and a Congress that does something that is not in the interest of the wealthiest among us, but rather for people like Jesus and Mary. We may not read about it on Facebook, and we may not read it in the headlines, especially those coming from Washington. But the world is populated by a portion of people who intentionally bring God into clearer view through their prayers, through their action, through their compassion, their grace, their investment, their service, through helping others to find an access point to the sacred. It's almost as if there is a seldom visible queue of people who are lining up to help others bring God's presence more sharply into view. When was the last time you encountered somebody who extended to you a moment of grace or insight or inspiration? And did you take advantage of the opportunity to thank them or to pay it forward or follow their example? I have seen angels right here at Plymouth, and none of them has wings. Amen.